Hey everyone, welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for another great round of topics here that we are going to cover today. I'm here to introduce them right here, right now. Later on in the show, Candace is with us for the inbox. She's going to be talking about a relationship and how in the world you should judge where the conversation should go. What is an appropriate level of intimacy to kind of unearth within a conversational topic? So we're going to go ahead and be discussing that. Also, I want to make sure that you know that this show is sponsored by ChristianCafe.com. For those of you who have been living under some kind of rock for the past year-ish or so, you know that they sponsor some of our podcasts. So that is today. You can go to ChristianCafe.com or you can go find them on Boundless and make sure that you know that there's a special code, Boundless, that you can enter to have an extended trial. Then for our culture segment, we have Justin Buzzard. He is the author of Date Your Wife. For those of you that have wives, this will be helpful for you. For those of you who don't, you will just understand that that's something that continues into marriage. Not only that, but apparently he created a kind of firestorm by getting people at his university to start dating. So he just issued a smackdown and started making it happen. So we're definitely going to make sure we ask him about that. So we will be talking to him in just a few minutes. But right now we're going to talk to, this is really the staff of Boundless here this summer that we have. Wow. I know.
All together.
We've doubled our staff.
Totally.
Awesome. That is awesome. James Eldridge back in the house. Hey, James.
Hey, Lisa.
Good to have you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
He's looking extremely millennial in his button-down shirt with a t-shirt under it.
Oh, yes.
We appreciate you keeping it real.
That's what I do.
Then we have Deidre here, also interning for us this summer from the great state of California.
Hi.
Woohoo. Shout out to you. Also need to mention that this is Deidre's show. She has produced this entire show. So if you don't like it, please write to her.
Oh, please and, don't.
you know her. Both of these guys are blogging for us as well. And so they're getting into the fray and having a lot of fun doing it. I don't know if they are. I'm just saying that because, you know, we want to. You are, right?
Oh, I am. It's a blast.
Loving it.
Yeah, it's fun.
Good. Okay, well, let's go ahead and open up this can of worms. We're going to talk about dating, which we never talk about here on Boundless. So it's good that we're finally going to broach this topic. Right, Martha?
Yes.
Who's also here in the studio.
Thank you. I was going to say.
I don't want to leave her out.
I'm here.
She's a given. Here she is.
Hey.
Here she is. Yes, she is here. So we're going to talk about dating, and specifically, because I mentioned the culture segment, we're going to kind of talk about dating in its different forms and different life stages. So this will be kind of interesting. So first question for all of y'all to weigh in on. Those of you who remember, who follow the show, which you should be, we talked a couple weeks ago with Skip Burzamato, who basically talked to us about the history of dating and courtship, and was mentioning that dating is really a newish phenomenon when you look through the generations and certainly through the centuries. So I want to know from you guys, what would you say, based on where you are with your experience and what you've learned and what you've inherited, what for you is the purpose of dating, if you had to describe it?
I hear a lot of stories growing up about people who would go to college and just ask people out. You know, they'd go out and they'd do a date here, and next Saturday night they'd do a date there. But that's not what I experience in my college at all. And I think a lot of other colleges. I think the just go out and date just different people, you know, as kind of a social thing or to find someone, I don't see that at all. I think more we hang out in groups, we get to know the people, and then when I, you know, when the guy likes the girl and he kind of knows, like, it's reciprocal, all of a sudden they become a couple, and then they kind of, you know, it's not just let's go on a date, they kind of, you know, let's date.
Mm-hmm.
So I think instead of just going out on dates to find people, we actually date for a relationship and maybe, you know, possibly for marriage.
So once they do pair off, though, then the construct has to become different. Then they do have to start kind of like doing dates or doing whatever.
Well, then they kind of like live life together. They're together all the time. I mean, a lot of times it's even most of it, like they sometimes couples will just leave everyone else they know and they become very involved with each other's lives.
Okay. For good or for ill, I think, in that one. Well, that's a whole other discussion there. Okay, interesting. What about you, Deidre?
My thoughts are that the purpose of dating has good intentions. I think dating should be you know, deciding whether or not you can spend your life with someone and if you can connect on an intimate level. But I think recently it's been more about recreation and selfishness and just meeting your own needs and not learning about other people.
Well, I've been thoroughly boundlessized.
You can't even remember pre-boundless syndrome.
No, really. I mean, even when I was in high school, I knew I wanted my dating life to be for the purpose of seeing if this person is a potential spouse and not, I don't know, trying out this and that and having broken hearts and just all the mess that I think can be caused when you're dating multiple people.
Yeah, I think my experience was definitely probably more recreational as I was younger. But I think I had a rose-colored glasses approach to it and that it would be very fun and free and recreational, but it would not, I had no concept of broken hearts or anything. You know, I just figured it would all work out because obviously I'm amazing and so I'm going to find someone amazing and it's all going to be good. Whoa, reality. Anyway, so.
I mean, so you thought breaking up just would be no big deal?
No, I just thought it wouldn't happen. I just thought.
So you were dating for marriage.
Yeah, but I think it was more, I don't think I would have had the intentionality to it. I think I just had this idea that, oh, it'll be fun and it'll be light and whatever, but it'll just turn into something or whatever without having to really look at, you know, reality or any kind of sacrificial nature for sure. That wasn't even on my radar.
Okay. I think interesting that we all have, you know, different experiences because, you know, Deidre and some of you guys are talking about more recreational that you've seen. You know, in my experience, and even sometimes what we tell some of the, you know, the readers and listeners that we need to get out and date because we don't see it a lot. And so we have over one hand recreational, you know, from my experience, not that much dating. Like there's a lot more single people that I know than couples. And it's because I think people are take it a little more seriously. You know, they don't just go out and, you know, do recreational dating. So it's interesting still there's that. Yeah. Broad range.
Well, I think definitely, and here's where I want to go with this, is that, you know, I think this generation, especially younger adults, it's much more, you know, whether you're in youth group or you're in a college environment or whatever, you kind of almost have that, you've grown up with don't talk to boys or girls, make sure you only do things in groups, you know, you're going to be with your college group or your youth group or whatever, make sure that you be friends first, that kind of deal. And then you have the whole social media phenomenon of people can barely put two sentences together because all they can do is tweet and Facebook someone or like someone's status rather than saying actually something legitimate about it. So then all of a sudden you're supposed to be in a relationship with someone ultimately. And it's kind of like this 0 to 60 transition, I think, in the sense. So what would you guys say if you could idealize or just pragmatically look at dating? How can a person, in light of that, prepare themselves for dating and be a person who can actually communicate, relate to someone, you know, all the things that are necessary for this?
As I prepare myself, you know, to be in a relationship. I guess for me, I have one I need to work on and focus that. On one hand, I need to work on myself, on my character, and make sure that I'm ready, you know, whenever that time may be. Also, I guess I need to be, like, looking. You know, you can't just go behind closed doors and God's just going to poof, this girl's going to be, you know, right in front of me. I have to be looking. And then as the man, I mean, one of my friends, I like one of the things he says, he's like, the guy always needs to take the emotional bullet. You know, the guy needs to be out there, needs to go out and take the risk and ask the girl. Now, that is kind of hard for me because, I mean, guys don't like rejection. And girls, if the guy seems really cool and smooth when he asks you out, I mean, trust me, most of the time he's probably been pacing around, been thinking about what he's going to say for days. And it's really, it's just, it's nerve-wracking. Because we all have in our mind, like, you know, what if she says no? She's probably going to say no and all this. So it is hard for a lot of guys to ask a girl out. But we need to take the emotional bullet. And, you know, for me, I guess the thing that I need to prepare myself for or, you know, when I meet different people is, okay, is that someone I want to take that bullet for? That's what I want to risk that for. Do I want to ask this person out? Because for me, I struggle with, do I want to get to know them more? Outside of a romantic kind of situation before asking them out, or do I ask them out first and get to know them that way? I mean, that's honestly something that I kind of go back and forth with.
Yeah. So that, okay, that's a little confusing to me, because how do you reconcile taking the emotional bullet and what you're basically saying is a risk,
yeah,
with what you said on the front end about how you're going to check this person out in a group setting, and then you even said, you know, you're going to know before you ask them out if it's reciprocated.
Exactly.
Doesn't that seem kind of safe? So what's
yeah.
happening there?
Okay. There's a difference between hanging out and friends, you know, and you're treating everyone the same and you're just, you observe people, versus you're hanging out with friends, but really you're kind of just hanging out with her in a group. There is a difference. You know, I'm a big fan of, you know, watch people, you know, watch where they, how they live, how they treat their friends, how they, you know, in life. A lot of times that's with you kind of more in the background, as opposed to you're just kind of leading her on in a group situation. And that's not, that isn't what a guy should necessarily be doing if he wants to be the one to take the bullet. So for me, I try to see who she is, you know, and then when I'm like, okay, this is someone I want to get to know more, you know, then I'm like, okay, I'm going to risk it. And it's still nerve wracking, but I think that's a good baseline.
A few weeks ago, Candace Waters answered a question from us from a girl wondering if she could date non-Christians just for practice. And I was just thinking about, I mean, Christian or not, where do we get the idea that we need practice at all dating? I don't know. I asked Candace that, actually, and she felt like that's just kind of a worldly concept of, I mean, yes, like James was saying, observe people and their character and how they interact with them. And when you see a good one, go for it.
Yeah, exactly.
And pursue that with the intention for marriage. And it's not, I need to learn how to have a conversation. You can learn how to have a conversation in the workplace with your siblings, with your parents, with
But it's almost like people haven't done that. It's like they've just been lazy their whole life and what, I don't know, grunted at their family members or whatever. So then all of a sudden when something's on the line and they have to actually, like, you know, put up, you know, something that's going to be legitimate, and they feel like, you know, oh, I have to prove something or whatever, then they can't do it.
So maybe, I mean, get some books and read about it, or make intentions, I mean, to practice with people around you. But I don't think you need dating to learn it.
If we have, marriage is all about learning experience. You're not going to go into marriage and then all of a sudden it's perfect. You guys know what you're doing, everything like that. You're supposed to grow and learn together. So, I mean, it's a scary world out there, but we got to learn on our feet when it happens, and we don't need to prep for that, because every relationship's different anyway. And if you date one person, it's going to be different than the next person. So, yeah, you might get some basics down, but still, like, it's not going to necessarily mean too much. Because I know people who've never dated anyone. They get married, you know, the first person they're with, and they have great relationships. Some people, they have bad relationships. It's all about how they work together.
And really, there could be a danger where you assume, okay, my last boyfriend and I interacted this way, and then you assume this next guy is going to be the same way.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the negative side of
it. Or the danger, just as James was alluding to, that if you haven't dated 15 to 20 people, that you haven't, you know, done enough or whatever. Like, it's almost like it's a research project. Well, I have to date X, you know, and like James says, no, there are a lot of people who the first person they date is the person they marry. Okay, do any of you have any specific fears about dating? I mean, we all have our expectations and our picture of what it looks like when it goes well. What do you think? I mean, if you could think of, you know, crash and burn, what would your experience be?
My fear is getting confused on a dating relationship and an emotional marriage. Just becoming so intimate that you forget that you're not married and that you're still, there's still a boundary line, and just getting so attached that it feels like a divorce when you break up.
Yeah. Been there, done that. Yeah.
Sorry.
And what's funny is my type of personality, I would have never seen it coming. You would think I'm the last person in the world that would get into that craziness, and I totally did. So I was just like blindsided, and it's a scary place to be, and it's a long recovery period. So I would definitely recommend, you know, that's wise to guard against that for sure. Who else?
For me, I guess I never grew up with the recreational dating, you know, mindset. So for me, dating is a big deal. It's not something that, you know, I'll hang out with friends, I'll do that, but dating, I don't go on dates, I date people. You know, we're together in this for maybe marriage. Let's see, you know, and because it's such a big deal, I mean, that's scary. I mean, For me, it's the rest of my life with this person, and, you know, it's as if, you know, I'm afraid maybe this isn't the right person I'm supposed to be, you know, doing this with. You know, because for me, one thing I always try to remind myself is that I only want to be with a person if together we glorify God more than apart. That's a big thing. Mm-hmm. And so who is that person that we glorify God together and then apart? So all that stuff goes in my head, you know, is this the right person? Does she have enough, like, the character attributes to work hard in a relationship? Her failures, my failures, her strengths, my strengths, put together, we're going for God's glory. You don't necessarily see that too much in people.
Mm-hmm. I think my fear, like in high school and college when I wasn't dating, was just the seriousness of it, of if I am going to date for the purpose of marriage, then we better choose carefully. But mm-hmm. I think I had to loosen up a little bit of, okay, this is just a first date. Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to go on a second one. I mean, I don't know. It's not that I was dating recreationally necessarily, but just realizing, well, you have to start at some point. You know, you're not going to have all your information. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I've been learning this mm-hmm. summer. Because for me, it's easy to just always say no. Always mm-hmm. be like, no, I'm just going to pass that one by. I'm just going to pass her by. I'm just going to stay single. It's easy, mm-hmm. you know? And for me, I need to put myself in front of that emotional bullet more often. And like you said, Martha, it's a first date.
Yeah.
And so I have to get over the fact that, you know, I don't have to plan when I ask someone out on a first date. I can just see what happens.
Yeah.
So there's that balance. There definitely is. And so it's kind of overcoming that balance. Yeah.
I know one of my failures was always in approaching a date or a series of dates like a job interview. And the same mm-hmm. failings that people have in job interviews is that they tend to think, I have to sell myself. I have to prove myself as awesome. I have to say X, Y, Z. I have to do this. But the fact is, it's a two-way street. You are evaluating that employer as well, you know, and there's freedom in that. It's not like, oh my goodness, I have to put myself out there. And if I'm rejected, it's just life altering. And I've gone into dating situations where I've just been like, okay, I have to prove myself. I have to make sure I'm witty and interesting and that they don't think I'm a freak and all this kind of stuff. And then I realize, you know what, Lisa, you have to figure out if this person's a good fit for you as well. And to just recognize that you can relax in that. And like Martha said, you know, at least on the front end, be a little bit more casual about it and recognize that God's going to superintend that process for you.
I think, you know, for you guys out there who may be more timid, shy, asking girls out, for me, it's something I had to learn is just, you know what, if she says no, it's not the end of the world. You know, like, for me, I thought it would be such a bash on my pride, you know, be, you know, insecure about it, whatever. Like, it's not the end of the world. And almost as if, it's, you know, she says no, hey, maybe God is saving you from this awful relationship. Maybe he just has something else for you. That's just not your time, whatever. Like, it's not a big deal. And so, for me, I'm learning, okay, just asking people out, it's not that big of a deal. So, you know, I got to man up and, you know, and do what I got to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not to freak you out, but what I was going to say to Lisa's comment is I think the guys actually carried the burden a little bit stronger to, like, impress and entertain or, I don't know, I think as the pursuer initiator, the ball's kind of in their court to win the girl's heart. You're the responder. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think when the girls are sitting there thinking, I need to impress him or look at my cooking skills, and okay, no, you need to relax and really he needs to win your heart initially, and mm-hmm. then later on you say yes or no to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what, in the next segment here, we're going to be talking to Justin, like I said, about his really call not only to college students to begin dating, but also looking ahead, like I referenced his book, Date Your Wife. This is like a lifelong process. So the good thing is, you know, you can get better at it down the road. But the bad news is a lot of people don't even think about that. I mean, I think a lot of people who are young adults think, oh my goodness, I just have to get to marriage. And then once I do, then I just coast. And then I can just, you know, that's the end goal and I made it. And, you know, then it's going to be easy because I found this person and we're just going to be amazing together. But the fact is you have to cultivate this relationship throughout the rest of your life. And so I just want to know, you know, I've had, in fact, I just had a guy friend of mine who's married describe recently kind of him going into marriage. And he said, I just kind of assumed it was this glorified roommate situation where, you know, she's so cool and we like doing this together and we hike together and bike together and stuff. And then all of a sudden you're really doing life together and it's a tricky business. And he still has to like woo her. And now he has the opportunity to disappoint her more often and to hurt her more often and vice versa. So what would you guys say is your vision of dating within marriage itself?
Well, for me, I've always lived under the philosophy that marriage is not a finish line, it's an advanced starting line. So dating after marriage is actually better because you don't have to impress anybody. You don't have to worry whether or not they like you. You don't have to worry where the relationship is going. So you're pretty much there. So you can have a lot more fun dating after marriage than you can before, quite honestly, because you can just be totally yourself. You can be totally intimate. You can just expose all of yourself, which you have a fear of when you're actually dating before marriage. So it's really nice just to like be that close to somebody and just to be that intimate.
I think keeping a healthy curiosity about your spouse of not assuming you know everything, or maybe their favorite ice cream has changed since, you know, 20 years ago when you were dating. So, I mean, just to be asking questions.
And now that you're married, they can eat ice cream because they can just not be careful about gaining 20 pounds and whatever. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, what Deidre was saying about a lot of people thinking marriage is the end goal. You know, for a lot of you guys, I mean, a lot of guys have the mentality of a hunter. You know, they're going to go out. And it's not that they necessarily, I mean, sometimes it happens, but not always they're objectifying the woman or whatever. Like, they really, you know, love that girl. But it's this mindset of, like, pursuing. That's what we've been designed to do. And so often the danger is once they're married, then all of a sudden the pursuit is over. I think what we need to learn as guys, you know, that the pursuit should never be over. And, I mean, I can't speak from experience. I'm not married, and I know it'll be a challenge. But I think especially a danger would hit when you have kids, because I hear so many times, you know, a boyfriend and girlfriend, you know, become a mother and a father, you know, and they need to go back to being a boyfriend and a girlfriend. And
husband and wife is somewhere in there, but too.
I'm talking about, to clarify, boyfriend, girlfriend as husband, wife.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, that kind of relationship where they're dating each other and it's not, you know, they don't just sit around and just, you know, are coexisting with each other. I was talking to, sometimes when I go back from, you know, breaks in college, I work at a grocery store and there was one woman, I was just helping her with her cart and she was telling me, and I was talking to her, and that, you know, yeah, her kids become more important than her husband, you know? And when the kids leave, what's left? You know? So having that continual pursuit for the guy, you know, and the girl constantly, like, being pursued and, you know, like, that kind of dating relationship. So the boyfriend-girlfriend in marriage relationship is very, very important.
Yeah. Well, we know that Greg and Aaron Smalley talk about this a lot. We've had them on the show, and they will actually be back next week, and they're going to actually be talking specifically about that engagement period, looking ahead to marriage, and some of the things that can be thought of and cultivated in that. And so I think that's a great segue into that. But, of course, dating, you know, it's something we're never going to solve. We wish we could here on the Boundless Show, but we can't.
Nope.
And, you know, sometimes we have seasons where we're in a pattern of dating, we're in a relationship that seems to be heading towards marriage. Sometimes we're just kind of on those starting lines or whatever, and sometimes we're anticipating what it's going to be like. So we would love all of your thoughts out there as well. So please do comment on the blog as we discuss this topic further. But thanks so much, you guys, and thanks, Deidre, for putting this together.
Yeah, oh, thanks, no Deidre. Problem.